in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you will, don't put down the hymnal. Open it up to page 321. We're going to look at the fifth commandment from the Small Catechism. Page 321. What is the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Do you see how Luther's explanation of the fifth commandment applies to today's gospel? Or you could say, almost, is extracted from today's gospel. We have the story of a man on business traveling down from Jericho to Jerusalem, down a long, winding road that over the course of about 13 miles or 17 miles descended 3,000 feet. It was a desolate way. It was a place where robbers, where highwaymen hung out waiting for a victim. And so it was in the parable Jesus told this day. This parable was prompted by a question. A teacher of the law, an expert in the Jewish law, stood up, and to put Jesus to the test, to tempt him is basically what the literal reading is. To tempt him as Satan did, said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, Jesus said, what's written in the law? What's written in the commandments of God? How do you understand your question? The man answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly," or you could almost translate it, you have answered straightly, or orthodoxly. You have given the answer that is found in God's word. Do this and you will live. Now we'll get back to do this and you will live a little bit later. But the teacher of the law, desiring to justify himself, desiring to make himself righteous, to declare himself righteous before Jesus and before all, asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor? To whom, or whom, as I am I to love as I love myself?" And thus the parable Jesus tells. Again, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho along a perilous way, and he fell among robbers. He was stripped by them. They beat him. They left him there lying half dead, and they took the loot, whatever of his possessions they could get, and they went on their way. Now, by chance, Jesus says, there was a priest going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Notice that he saw the man who had been set upon by thieves. It wasn't that he was so occupied in thinking about his temple duties that he didn't even notice the man. No, he saw him, and he chose to go the other way. He chose not to help the man who was beaten nearly half dead and who had been stripped naked. A strike against the clergy. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and also saw this man, passed by on the other side. Let's put it this way. A Levite, you could say, was an elder in the church. He assisted the priest in his duties. But he went the other way too. Didn't lend a hand didn't lift a finger to help this poor man who was half dead. A strike against the leaders of the church, you could say. Have you noticed that a joke has three parts a lot of time? Well, there is a third character in today's gospel reading. And the teacher of the law had probably been made a little uncomfortable by what Jesus had said thus far, and those around may have been rying Jesus on for, you know, taking the clergy and the teacher of the law down a notch, for taking the Levites down a notch. And they probably expected Jesus to tell about a faithful Jew who came along and, unlike the priest and the Levite, saw this man and viewed him with compassion. But Jesus put a twist to his parable. It was not a faithful Jew who came along and helped the man. It was a Samaritan. A Samaritan, the ancient enemy of God's people. The ones whom the Jews hated, the ones who hated the Jews, a despised person among the Jews, he came and he helped the man. Now, how do we equate that to our situation in time? What's the shock value we could find in this? Well, maybe we could say a white supremacist came along, or a member of Antifa came along and helped the man. Maybe a gay rights activist. Maybe a member of Focus on the Family came by and helped the man. It does not matter. But that gets across something of the shock value of Jesus' choice of a Samaritan who provided help, an outsider. As he journeyed along, he came to where this beaten man was, and he saw him, and he had compassion upon him. Compassion, it was though he suffered this man's wounds himself. That word compassion is an important word in the Gospels. Just about every time it is used, it applies to Jesus. Jesus is the one who has compassion. He has compassion on the multitude who gathered around to hear them, who were without food. He has compassion upon the multitude who were like sheep without a shepherd. And likewise, he has compassion upon you and me and all the people in all the world, because he willingly bore our sins. He willingly suffered the passion for us. He suffered with us and for us, that we might be delivered ultimately from sin and suffering and all the evil of this world. He had compassion. The Samaritan went up to the man and bound up his wounds. He poured on oil and wine. You could say these are symbols of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The early church, the interpreters of the early church believed that. Anyway, the man set this nameless person whom he did not know upon his own animal. The Samaritan chose to walk and lead the animal. He inconvenienced himself. And he brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii to pay the innkeeper for lodging the man, for taking care of him. And that was probably about at least 30 days of lodging this Samaritan was paying for. Take care of him, he says, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And then Jesus gets to the parable. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? notice Jesus did not answer the teacher of the law's question. The question was, who is my neighbor? Jesus is saying, who was a neighbor to this poor, beaten man who was left half dead by the thieves who set upon him? Who do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And maybe reluctantly, the lawyer, the teacher of the law, had to admit, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Now, the you go and do likewise, the go and the do, are imperatives. These are things that are commanded. But what about you and me? Are we commanded to help those in need? Well, according to Luther's explanation of the fifth commandment, it's not a matter of merely not doing harm or hurt to your neighbor in his body, but rather helping and supporting him in every physical need. And thus, this Samaritan did. Now, James and John have something to say about this. James asks, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, I'll pray for you, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What good does it do the individual in need? And John says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother or his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The priest and the Levite no doubt thought they served God, no doubt thought they loved God, but we can see their love fell far short, and their faith in God was lacking. Now, we are called to keep the fifth commandment, but we are dead in trespass and sin. How can we possibly keep that commandment? And here's where we want to do a swift change around. First, see Jesus as the Good Samaritan. See Jesus as the one who had compassion upon each one of us. Jesus, who took the road through this world that we must take. Jesus, who did not pass by on the other side, but came as close to us as our very flesh and blood in his incarnation. Jesus, who not only risked being set upon by robbers and thieves, but was set upon by the leaders of the Jews and the Gentiles, and himself was not beaten half dead, but who died on the cross under God's wrath as God's sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. There, if you want, you can see Jesus as the man who was set upon by thieves. But let's continue. Jesus is a good Samaritan. He has compassion on you. He has compassion on me. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. He has given his righteousness to you and to me as a free gift. On account of Jesus, God sees you as holy. On account of Jesus, God sees you as keeping the law perfectly. You see, God loves you with an overflowing, abundant love. And if God has so loved you and me, We are called to the service of our neighbor. Jesus set our sins on his own holy flesh and blood. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, but then he was led outside of Jerusalem to be crucified. And here we get kind of allegorical. Think of Jesus as the one who cares for us here in the church. Think of Jesus through whom God gives us the gift of our baptism, by which our sins are washed away and God claims us as his own dear children. Think of the wine in terms of the sacrament of the altar. These things are for our healing. These things are to strengthen us in our faith. These things are given to us, Luther says, so that we may learn to love God and learn to love our neighbor. Through the forgiveness of sins God bestows on us in his saving gospel, in his word, and in the sacraments. Jesus went forth, came down from heaven, and did far more than anyone could ever imagine. Who would have thought that God would take upon himself our human flesh and blood in order to save us? Who would have thought that the infinite would become finite in the body of a human being? But he did. He did it for you. He proved to be a neighbor for you. And in that, you are forgiven. In that, you are freed to new life in Christ. And that you are given the love to care for your neighbor, whatever his need or her need may be, because God in Christ Jesus has cared for you in your every need. Jesus is a proof of that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.